You are on the line, live on ESPN, 106.7 in Auburn, and Fox Sports Central Alabama on 98.3 FM in Birmingham and Sylacauga. Online on foxsports983.com and ESPNAU.com. Call in at 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502.
You're on the line here on ESPN 106.7 in Fox Sports Central Alabama. Jacob Goins with you on the Wednesday edition of the show. Hour number one officially underway here on Wednesday, May 4th, 2022. Happy Star Wars Day to all of those that celebrate. I do not, but I know it's a big day to a lot of people. So May 4th, may the 4th be with you, that type of thing. If that's your thing, congratulations. You made it to May 4th, Star Wars Day. But for everybody else, happy Wednesday. Hope you're all doing well. Here in the Auburn-Opelika area, beautiful day outside. Sun is shining, some clouds in the sky. Yes, it's still hot, but that's okay. It's a beautiful day here on Hump Day, Wednesday, May 4th, 2022. I appreciate everybody tuning in to the Wednesday edition of On the Line here on ESPN 106.7 in the Auburn-Opelika area and on 98.3 up through Birmingham and Sylacauga on Fox Sports Central Alabama. Hope you're all doing well on this Wednesday afternoon. How are we feeling today? Are we feeling pretty good? I do. I feel great. I feel great today. I'm happy to be here. Blessed to be here as always. And we've got a great show on tap for you today as always. If you want to call in, get involved with the show, be a part of the program, I'd love to hear from you. 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502. Anything on your mind in the sports world, I'd love to hear from you. I'd love for you to get involved with the show as well. 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502. Again, anything on your mind, if you want to call in, if you've got something, if you've got a question on your mind, if you have a topic in mind that you want me to talk about or you want to talk about with me, call in. I'd love to hear from you. 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502. I've got a lot to talk about today, so let's jump right into it. The big topic we talked about yesterday was NIL, transfer portal, college athletics really going down the wrong road. And the event that really brought all of that up was Jordan Addison, the Pitt wide receiver, who had not officially been in the transfer portal yet, had not officially entered the transfer portal yet. He now has. He is in the portal. And I was wrong yesterday. Bill Cameron, host of The Drive, actually informed me after my show, as we were swapping out the studio. He said, yesterday I was saying that if Jordan Addison was going to enter the portal, he would have to sit out because of the deadline on May 1st. Well, Bill Cameron actually told me that he could have entered, he just didn't have to announce it until last night or yesterday. And so that happened, and I did not know that. So I stand corrected, so he will not have to sit out, but he is transferring, and he's one of the hottest targets in the transfer portal right now. And I will say, I also stand corrected a little bit, because I have said that anybody that's in the portal or will enter the portal at the deadline probably isn't a program-changing type player, a day-one starter, an impact player, those types of guys that I talk about a lot. This guy is. He 100% is. And look, I didn't expect him to transfer a couple of weeks ago. Somebody of his caliber, you don't expect to hit the portal this late. And he's obviously not doing it for school. He's made that very clear. He's doing it for the NIL money. He's doing it to try to get a paycheck. And that's totally fine. That's totally fine. If that's what you want to do, that's what you want to do. And he is doing it. And so USC, Alabama, Texas are the schools that are expected to go after him. I'm sure a lot will go after him, but those are the schools that they are saying are really going to go after him and have a real chance to get him. USC obviously is the ones in play for NIL purposes, but there were some videos that were released today about Jordan Addison working out with Bryce Young, Alabama's quarterback. Those videos surfaced today. Jordan Addison in the portal working out with Bryce Young. So what does that mean? Don't really know. Could mean something, could mean nothing. You don't really know until you know. And I think it's interesting. Obviously, he's probably working out with him, trying to get to know him, see if he likes him. You know what I mean? And trying to literally like work out with him and see if they're going to fit and see if that's a legitimate option for him. And so it's happening, folks. It's happening. And again, with this type of player in the transfer portal, it's going to come down to who's going to give him the best chance to win, who's going to give him the best chance to get better. And then at the end of the day, he makes it known that he wants money. He wants NIL money, and he wants big NIL money. Who can give it to him? What school and what donors and what companies are going to be able to give it to him? That's what is going to have to go down for a school to get a player like Jordan Addison. And not just him. As the years go on, that's how it's going to be. That's a whole new segment of recruiting that you're going to have to deal with now. That you have to be able to put that binder on the table as well. Not just the binders of, here's our program, here's our school, here's our coaches, all of that. Here's our guys in the league, right? Now you have to be able to come into the door and say all of those things, plus here's what we can guarantee you in NIL deals. Here's what we can guarantee you in NIL endorsements. That's what we can give you. And if you can't compete with other schools, if you can't compete with other programs, sorry, you're out. You're out. And that's it. And so that's where college athletics is heading, folks. Football will be the worst. College basketball will be the second worst. And then everything else is going to kind of fall in its place. But that's where it's heading. And look, I don't like it. Do you? Do you agree that this is how it should work? Do you agree that this is how it should be working and how this is how it should be going down? I want to hear from you and what you guys think about this turning point in college athletics, because that's exactly what it is. It's a turning point. It's a huge milestone turning point in college athletics, and we are watching it unfold before our very eyes. We're watching it happen. And 10 or 15, 20 years from now, when we're talking to our kids and grandkids and whoever, and they're watching the game of football, or we're talking to each other, we're going to say, man, do you remember when we watched this NIL thing happen right in front of our eyes? Do you remember when players could not get paid to play college athletics? And in 20 years, when guys are making $20 million in NIL money, $30 million in NIL money, when that happens, we're going to look back and say, wow, we watched that begin. We watched it start right in front of our eyes. And look, maybe it won't ruin everything, right? I know that's how I feel. I think it will. But maybe it won't. And I don't want it to. This is a situation where I don't want to be right. I don't want to be right. I don't want college football to be ruined. I love college football. It's my favorite. I don't want it to be ruined. And that's why I'm so passionate about this situation. I understand players want to get paid. I understand players understanding their values and their value and how much they are worth to a program. I get all of that. But again, I think there's got to be limits. And I want to ask you the same thing, the listener. Do you think there should be a cap, like a salary cap on NIL money for all players? Do you think there should be some type of limitations on NIL? Do you think there should be limitations on transfer portal? We've seen a little bit of it, but it did get laxed a little bit because of COVID. But what do you think? I want to hear from you, the listener. 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502. I want to know what you think about it and where you think the future of college football is heading. Where the future of college basketball, the future of college athletics, where do you think it's going? I'd love to hear from you. Call in, get involved with the show. 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502. And so, you know, still sticking with this subject, but relating it to Auburn. I kind of hit on this a little bit yesterday. How does this affect Auburn? what does Auburn have to do with this news? How does Auburn adapt with all of this? Because that's what we care about, right? That's what you care about. How is Auburn going to do what they have to do in this new era of college football? Well, it goes a couple of ways. Auburn football is going to have to, A, they're going to have to figure out some NIL situations, okay? And they're going to have to do a lot. But first and foremost, they're going to have to work with the company NIL Auburn. That's the company here in Auburn. They work directly with the school. They work directly with the companies. They are basically, the best way that I understand it, is this company is the middleman between the school and the players and companies that want to pay money to sponsor players, positions, whatever. So Auburn's going to have to work with this company and say, look, we need to know what type of NIL money we're going to be able to offer every single year. We need to know what type of money we're going to be able to offer specific recruits, because a company, let's say company A, comes in and says, I want to donate $1 million to this wide receiver, right? I want him to get our $1 million NIL deal for him to work with us for advertising and all of that, right? Company B comes in and says, I want to donate $1 million, but I just want it to go to the entire team. I want it to be spread out equally. They can do that. They can do that now. They don't have to just say, I want to sign this player to NIL. You can pay a whole position group. You've seen offensive linemen. You've seen defensive linemen. You've seen that type of stuff where position players and a whole position groups sign NIL deals. Some players or some teams get NIL money across the board because a company comes in and says, that's what we want to do. So what Auburn's going to have to do, and what Auburn has to figure out over time, and every single year, because it's going to change every year with new players and new companies, they are going to have to figure out, how much money can we offer our team? How much money can we offer specific recruits and specific players? Because that's information that you now have to have when you walk in the door for a visit. Or when that kid comes to campus, you need to be able to tell him, look, this is how much we know you're going to get if you come here. Because that's what they're going to ask. They're going to start asking those questions, folks. That's where it's at. That's like professionals. That's literally like being a professional football player. When you go, when you're a free agent and you go to a new organization and you say, why should I come here? That's what they're going to ask. Why should I come here? And before it was, you're going to get better. We can compete. You know, our coaches, players, blah, blah, blah. But now, with college, just as it is in the pros, the last question they ask is, well, what's the money situation? What are you going to pay me? Right? That's how professional football works. You're about to see that in college football as well. That's where it's heading. It's already there. Not even heading there. It's already there. It's already there. And with the transfer portal, that's the free agency part of it. And the NIL is the contract part of it. So you take those two things and combine them, you've got NFL-style football. You're still playing college, but these are borderline professionals now because they're making money. And that's the definition of being a professional, getting paid to do something like do a specific task. That's it. These are now professionals. They're not even college kids anymore. These are adults who are getting paid ridiculous amount of money to play football. And so now what Auburn has to do, again, Auburn has to figure out, how much NIL money can we provide? How much are we going to have at our disposal? And if you don't have enough to compete with other programs, sorry. Sorry. I mean, that's going to be it. And we had a phone call yesterday about asking about that. And he said, what is Auburn going to do if they can't offer enough NIL money compared to other schools? And my response was, you're going to have to be able to offer them something else. And that's going to be extremely tough. That's going to be extremely tough. And my comparison was, my comparison was Alabama. Right now, with Nick Saban, if Alabama wants, before NIL, let's look at it this way. Before the NIL, Alabama and Nick Saban got whoever they wanted. If there's any player in the country that Nick Saban wanted, 99% of the time, he get them. He got them, right? He gets them and he gets them. That's it. If he wants them, he got them. Now with the NIL, yes, Alabama's still going to be able to produce a hefty amount of NIL money because it's Alabama, it's Nick Saban. Companies still want to be involved with that because of the high level of talent that comes through there. But even if they can't provide enough NIL money to compare with a couple of other schools, like a Texas A&M, like a USC, right? What they can guarantee is we are going to compete for championships, and you've got a good chance of going to the league. Auburn has to get to that point. Yes, it's going to take some time. I understand. It's not going to happen tomorrow. It's not going to happen this season. It's not going to happen in the next three seasons. But over time, Auburn's got to get back to that point. Auburn has to get to that point, and they've got to find a coach that can keep them at that point. No more rotating coaches. That's got to stop. You've got to find your guy so you can get your program to that level. Because if you don't get to that level, you're never going to get these players anymore because, A, you're not going to have the money to pay them, and, B, you don't have anything else to back yourself up with if you can't pay them. That's where Auburn is at right now. And Auburn is about to be left in the dust if they don't figure that part out. And you know who knows that better than anybody? Brian Harsin. Brian Harsin knows that better than anybody. He knows exactly what's about to happen. He knows. And other college football coaches in his situation, they know it too. They know what's coming. And what's crazy is, even the best coaches, like Nick Saban and Dabo Sweeney, they don't want this to happen. They don't want this. They know where it's going. They saw this years ago. I said that yesterday. They were right. They know exactly what's happening, and they know what's going to happen. It's only going to get worse. And so for Auburn specifically, you've got to figure out your NIL situation. You've got to get your program back to being a top-tier program in college football, because if you can't produce millions and millions of dollars in NIL money, if you can't compete with other schools when it comes to NIL comparisons, you've got to have something else to offer them. And you've got to go after the players that aren't all about the money. Yeah, some of them are going to be, and that's fine. You're just going to have to take your losses on that. If the player's all about the money and he doesn't want to come here because you can't pay him enough, I mean, that's, you did what you could do. You did all you could do. You've got to be able to go find the players that, yeah, they still want some compensation, but they also want to get better at football. They're also trying to get to the next level. Auburn's got to be able to do that as well. You've got to start winning games, competing for championships, and putting guys in the league. If you can start doing those three things, then NIL will not be as impactful on Auburn. And if you can get NIL money to compete with those other schools, then you're in a fantastic position. But think about how much more pressure that adds on to being a college football coach. Think about how much more pressure that is on an entire program. Think about how much more work that is just to get a player on your team. That's why legendary coaches are leaving, folks. That's why the game of college football, the game of college basketball is changing right in front of our eyes. It's changing. And it's changing forever. And I've said it many of times, and I'm going to say it again. I think it's so far gone, we'll never get it back. And so, with that being said, now we have to adjust, right? It's happened. It's going to happen. There's no reason to sulk about it anymore. No reason to be mad about it anymore, because there's nothing we can do. It's happening. So now we have to adjust. Not just football programs and coaches and players. Fans got to adjust as well. And we have to figure out, and media has to adjust, we've got to figure out how to enjoy it and how to take it all in and how to adjust to the changes. That's what you have to do. It's going to be hard. And if the quality of football, if the quality of play in any sport starts to go down, it's going to be the first thing they blame is, well, that kid doesn't care. He's just here for the money. Or that kid doesn't care. She's just here for the money, right? That's what's going to be start happening. That's what's going to be blamed. But there's got to be other ways. And so if you can find a balance, if they can all find a balance somehow with the money and to keep the performance up on the field, it could be okay. But that's going to be really tough. That's going to be extremely tough to do. It's a hard subject to talk about because it's so new, and we really just don't know what to expect of where this is going to go. Let's take our first break of hour number one. If you want to call in, get involved. If you have some thoughts about this, it's the hot topic around college sports right now. It's the hot topic around sports radio, sports TV right now. Everybody's talking about it. You've got a thought, call in. I'd love to hear from you. 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502. Let's take a break. You're listening to On the Line. Welcome back into On the Line here on ESPN 106.7 in Fox Sports Central Alabama. Jacob Goins with you on the Wednesday edition of the show. We've got about six more minutes before we head to the bottom of the hour break. Make sure you stay tuned. We're going to have Scott Bagwell of Auburn High School baseball and football play-by-play. He's going to be on at 2:30 to talk about Auburn High baseball as they move on in the playoffs. So he'll be on at 2:30, give us the rundown of how they moved on and also what to expect in their upcoming games in the state baseball tournament. So make sure you stay tuned for that. We had him on last week, and we'll have him on throughout the rest of the baseball season. And then the goal would be to have him on during football season as well to give some Auburn High School football updates. So that's the plan, but Scott Bagwell will be on at 2:30 here in the next couple of minutes in the next segment. So make sure you stay tuned for that. If you want to call in, get involved, be a part of the show, I'd love to hear from you. 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502. Anything on your mind in the sports world, I'd love to hear from you. And you can call in and be a part of the show. 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502. Moving on to another topic. Auburn baseball, they host the fourth-ranked Arkansas Razorbacks this weekend at Plainsman Park. Auburn baseball doesn't have a midweek this week because of finals week over at Auburn University. So they do not have a midweek game. They have finals to worry about instead. And what that means is they didn't lose a midweek game. They didn't have to worry about a midweek game. Their opponent, Arkansas, had their midweek game last night, and they lost. They lost to Missouri State last night, 6-3. The number four team in the country loses the midweek to Missouri State, 6-3. That's pretty big news. You know, it's not like crazy, because we talk about it all the time. Baseball is baseball, and it's weird. And sometimes those types of games happen where the other team is just their night, and sometimes it's just not your night. And that was probably the situation here. I didn't watch the game. I just saw the update about Arkansas losing their midweek to Missouri State before they come to Auburn. And look, that's got to be good news for Auburn, right? I mean, can't be anything bad that Arkansas lost their midweek game. And it shows that this team is beatable. And Auburn is already feeling pretty good coming out of Tennessee with the win that they got. Not the series win. They get a game win. They did lose the series, but they did exactly what we told them to do. They win one game, and they're doing okay. Now you have Arkansas coming to the Plains this weekend in a huge SEC West showdown. If Auburn wins the series, they're going to host a regional, folks. They're going to host, and they're going to be one of the top seeds in the NCAA tournament. That's big time. This is a huge series for Auburn this weekend against Arkansas. But the news here is that Arkansas lost their midweek game to Missouri State. And look, early on in the season, you see teams like this and like Auburn sometimes lose a midweek here and there. It happens. It's baseball. But at this point in the season, if you're Arkansas and you're the top four team in the country, you can't be losing to Missouri State, right? You can't be losing to Missouri State, guys. You can't. If Auburn this week would have had a midweek game against Missouri State and lost, we would have been like, oh no, here we go, right? We would have been worried about this Auburn team. But Arkansas, they lose to Missouri State. Now they hit the road. They come to Auburn. And I'm going to be honest. I'm looking for Auburn to win this series this weekend. I am. I'm looking for Auburn to win the series this coming weekend at Plainsman Park. Arkansas is good, but so is Auburn. And I think Auburn has a really good chance. But even if they don't, just win a game. Don't get swept, just win a game. But this one feels a little bit different than the Tennessee series did. Tennessee was really just survive. Just win a game and come home happy. This weekend against Arkansas, now that Auburn showed they can hang with the big boys, because all three of those games against Tennessee, they were in all three games. When they showed that, the vibe around this upcoming series against Arkansas really changed. It's not a survive, don't get swept, just hold on for dear life type of series anymore. This is a legitimate chance for Auburn to get a big-time series win and boost themselves into first place in the SEC West and really jump up in the standings in Division I baseball. They have a legitimate chance to do so. And then you wrap up the season with Alabama, who just got swept by South Carolina, and Kentucky, one of the bottom feeders in the SEC East. Auburn's at a really good spot right now, and they're playing really good baseball. And again, the vibe around this series has changed. It's not just survive, just win one, and hope you don't get swept. No, if you're Auburn baseball, you are now thinking, we have a good shot to win this series this weekend against a top five team in the country, the Arkansas Razorbacks. Auburn's still ranked at 19. Arkansas's ranked at 4 in the D1 baseball rankings. That's what I use. There's about 30 different rankings, so I use that one and just stay consistent. Auburn's got a legitimate chance to beat Arkansas this weekend, and if they do, watch out. They could be doing something really, really special. Stay tuned. We're going to have Scott Bagwell here on the Wednesday edition of On the Line. Welcome back into On the Line here on ESPN 106.7 in Fox Sports Central Alabama. Jacob Goins with you on the Wednesday edition of the show. 30 minutes into hour number one here on the Wednesday edition of On the Line. I appreciate everybody tuning in here on ESPN 106.7 in Fox Sports Central Alabama on 98.3 up through Birmingham and Sylacauga. Hope you're doing well on this Wednesday, May 4th, 2022. Want to welcome in Scott Bagwell, play-by-play announcer for Auburn High School football and baseball. Scott, how's it going?
Good. How are you doing?
I'm doing really well, man. Doing well. We appreciate you coming on. I know it's a busy time for you, so we do appreciate you coming on. And obviously want to talk to you about Auburn High School baseball as they are moving on in the playoffs with some big wins last week.
Yeah, able to take care of business against Prattville. Game one, I thought it was going to be a big key for Auburn going in against Prattville, who had a very good record on the season, to just start fast, because it can't be overstated confidence, and Prattville had a bunch of confidence going into the playoffs. Auburn was able to jump on top of them though, and jump out and get a big lead, which is what they did when they played in the regular season. And then in the nightcap, Auburn won 14-1 in game one, and then in the nightcap, Sladewood, Troy Sinee was as advertised. I was told pregame when the matchups were given and Auburn saw when he was going to start, that he was going to be starting game two and not game one, that would be the tough one, because the players knew it, everybody knew it, that was going to be the one Auburn was going to have to find a way to scrap across a couple of runs, and Auburn's going to have to be the best on the defensive and the pitching side, and that's exactly what happened. Auburn got two hits to start things off, pushed runners over and in against Wood, and then Griffin Stewart, who has been just amazing this year, a two-hit complete game shutout in game two to give Auburn the win and send Auburn into the second round.
We talk about Griffin Stewart quite a bit. He was our Point Broadband High School Player of the Week. This week, he's been the Player of the Week a couple of times this year. What has been really working for him so far this season for Auburn High School?
The ability to throw three pitches in the zone at any count, at any time in any count. That's what made him so good. We saw 2-0 curveballs, 2-0 changeups. That's been the big thing for Griffin this year, is when it comes time for him to throw a big pitch, he's done it. And it's been the fastball. It's been the curveball. It's been the change. It's been, you know, all three pitches. And when you're able to do that, you don't have to have the overpowering fastball because Slade Wood for Prattville was throwing in the upper 80s into the low 90s. And Stewart wasn't, but he was able to keep people off balance. The breaking ball was moving. The changeup was changing the velocity. And then he threw the fastball up. You don't have to throw it mid-90s in high school to have an effective fastball up in the zone. If they can't time it and you're changing the eye level and you're changing in and out and everything like that, then the fastball up is very effective, and that's exactly what happened.
Talking to Scott Bagwell, play-by-play announcer for Auburn High School football and baseball, to continue in the first round, all of the series except one were 2-0 sweeps. What was one of the results or a couple of the results that really surprised you last weekend?
So if you look in the South, you can start with Auburn's opponent, Alma Bryant. Alma Bryant snuck into the playoffs. I'll say that they were the one that when you looked at the region from down in Mobile that you were like, okay, they have work to do, you know. And that's exactly what they did. They went to work. They got the win over Mary Montgomery to get into the playoffs, and then they won 2 1-run games against Fairhope, a team that beat them 3 times in the regular season. And, the final scores in those games were 6-5. Game one was 3-2, 6-5, and then 10-9. But if you look at the regular season, they lost to Fairhope 9-4, 4-0, and 4-3. So you lose to a team 3 times, and then you take 2 out of 3. That's surprising. Baker beat Daphne, even though it was at home. Daphne has a very quality lefty, and the fact that they beat him, came from behind to do it, and then took care of business in game 3. I'm not sure that was a surprise, but it was kind of attention-grabbing. And then if you look at the North, nothing really overly shocking as far as who won. The way that Vestavia won was very surprising. They knocked off Tuscaloosa County, the area champions. They beat Hoover 19-2 in game 1, and then 5-3. That was eye-opening score as well.
Talking to Scott Bagwell, Auburn High School football and baseball play-by-play announcer. Now moving on to the second round, you talked about Auburn High School's opponent, Alma Bryant. What do you know about their opponent coming up?
You know, I've been kind of looking at their stats and stuff this week, and they really have found themselves. Again, they needed to have a big week against Mary Montgomery to make the playoffs, and they did. They got a 5-3 win and a 6-2 win to get into the playoffs. And, you know, they've won 4 out of the last 5, and all of those were playoff-type games. They had to win to advance, and that's exactly what they did. They've gotten some big-time pitching late in the season where they have finally been able to kind of put everything together. Their bats have woken up. The top part of the order has been very, very, very good for them, and has really set the tone. And that's been something that's helped out. The fact that they've had those bats that kind of to kind of wake up. And you know, the other thing is their starting pitchers have gone the distance a couple of times, including Connor English, a left-handed pitcher who has emerged as one of their better arms. And also in that Mary Montgomery series that I talked about, they had a guy get a save in game 1, which was on a Thursday, and then turned around the next day and went, I believe, 6 innings to get the win on that Friday. So they've had some big-time pitching performances as well as some big-time at-bats throughout the last couple of weeks.
And Scott, have you talked to Auburn High baseball coach Simo about how the team is feeling throughout this week as they approach the weekend?
Well, when I talked to him earlier in the week, he said, you know, he thought they played about as well as they could have against Prattville, so he's hoping that carries over. He liked the approaches that he saw against Prattville. You know, they've seen quality pitching this year. Slade Wood, again, from Prattville, they saw quality arms against Hartsell. They've seen quality arms all year long. But at times what gives them the most trouble is the kind of the off-speed arm the one that's not necessarily going to live off the fastball, the one who's going to change speeds all the time. And for Auburn to jump all over the Prattville pitcher in game one, who that was his MO, that was big. But also, you know, Auburn doesn't make any errors in those two games. Clean, no errors in every single inning that Auburn had. The only error they had was a pitcher on a pickoff threw it in the right field. But as far as fielding and catching, Auburn did that very, very well. And also, they moved the runners around. They got timely hits. I think it's big for Auburn to have a big-time first round where they played clean. They got some bats going as well. And now you can say, all right, we're playing more so what we were playing at the beginning of the year and in the middle of the year as opposed to when they had that dip against Central at the end of the year.
Talking to Scott Bagwell, Auburn High School football and baseball play-by-play announcer. Auburn was not at home last week, but for this round, they are at home. How big is that for this Tigers team to have the second round of the playoffs be at their home place?
It's big because you don't have to make the four-hour trip. And now, with rain in the forecast, it's also the ability to be able to stay at home if it's a weather situation. You kind of have a better idea of what you're going to do. You're the one that's getting to kind of dictate everything as opposed to being on the road, which Auburn was last year in the first round when rain came through. And Auburn sat around, and first pitch wasn't until about 6:30, 7 o'clock at Baker. And so that led to a long night at the ballpark. We don't know how everything is going to shake out. I do know that they're going to do everything they can to get one, if not both, games in on Friday, just because of the way that the AHSA rules are. And with the semifinals later in the week, you don't want to push this series back all the way to Monday.
Talking to Scott Bagwell, Auburn High School football and baseball play-by-play announcer. I asked you this question last week. I'm going to ask you again. Of the remaining teams left in the playoffs, besides Auburn's opponent Alma Bryant, who's a team that you still have your eye on?
I mean, in the South, both teams at the top obviously catch your eye. Central took 2 of 3 from Auburn. So, you know, to say that they don't catch your eye is just kind of wrong. On the flip side, Central has to travel to Baker, and that's a tough place to go play. Baker's very solid. It's a team that eliminated Auburn back in 2019. And I believe, if I'm not mistaken, yeah, Baker's already beat Central at Central back on March 11th. So this is a team that Baker's 24-9 that won their area, that beat Daphne twice. I'm interested to see how that series goes. And then also, all signs right now point towards a Hewitt Trustville and Bob Jones matchup. If those are the two quote-unquote favored teams in the northern part of the state. Hewitt's been number one in the sports writers poll all year long. Bob Jones has been a team that's been in the top five, top six all year long, and they're playing some of their best baseball. So I know I've kind of mentioned just about everybody left, but in 7A, once you get to the second round, there's only 8 teams left, and all 8 teams left are very talented and have big wins, so it's kind of hard to single out anybody that you think might be able to or might be the quote-unquote favorite.
Well, Scott, we appreciate your time. Of course, you will be broadcasting the Auburn High School baseball playoff games on our sister station, 96.3 W Lee. Let everybody know where they can find that, what time the games are, and what they can do, weather permitting.
Yeah, it's going to be 5 o'clock first pitch. It'll be a doubleheader Friday. Airtime, again, 5 o'clock. All that action on 96.3 W Lee. If you're at home, we also kind of stream it with the AHS Mass Media. And this one, since it's a playoff game, is through the NFHS network. So we'll have our call live there with it, with the video feed, if you want to watch it that way. Or if you can't and you just want to listen, it'll be on Wings 96.3, the app, online, and, of course, the good old radio dial.
Well, Scott, we appreciate your time. Enjoy the broadcast this weekend. We'll talk to you next week, my friend.
Yep, have a good one.
That was Scott Bagwell, Auburn High School football and baseball play-by-play announcer. Getting us some information about Auburn High School as they move on into the baseball playoff. They have the second round this weekend at home against Alma Bryant. And like you said, or like he said, you can catch all of that action on our sister station, 96.3 W Lee, first pitch at 5 o'clock on Friday evening. Great, great phone call, great conversation. He knows his stuff real well, and he's a fantastic play-by-play announcer as well. So if you haven't heard him, make sure you tune into the broadcast as Auburn High School trying to move on in the AHSAA playoff bracket this Friday at home against Alma Bryant. Also, the Auburn High School mass media thing he was talking about, that is a fantastic system that they use. If you've never seen it, pull it up on YouTube. You can just type in Auburn High School mass media and pull up some of the videos that they do. It's all student run, and it's top tier content, folks. It is really, really good. They pair up with our play-by-play announcers. They have video feeds. They have a score bug. They've got updates and ads running on the bottom like you see on TV. They have replay and transitions. They have commercials. It's fantastic. If you've never seen it or if you've never watched it or listened to it, I highly recommend you go and find it. You can type in Auburn High School Mass Media on YouTube and you can pull up some of their older videos. It's fantastic. You can also watch it live with Scott Bagwell's play-by-play on Friday night at 5 o'clock on 96.3 W Lee. Let's take our final break of hour number one. I'd love to hear from you. Call in, get involved about anything going on in the sports world. I'd love to hear from you. 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502. Let's take a break. You're listening to On the Line. Welcome back into On the Line here on ESPN 106.7 in Fox Sports Central Alabama on 98.3 up through Birmingham and Sylacauga. Hope you're doing well on this Wednesday afternoon. As we wrap up hour number one, make sure you stay tuned. Hour number two will be coming up at 3 o'clock, so make sure you stay tuned. We've still got a great show on tap for you today. Just got off the phone with Scott Bagwell, Auburn High School football and baseball play-by-play announcer. He came on to update us about Auburn High School and their run through Auburn High School baseball, that is, through their state tournament bracket. They won round one last weekend. They swept Prattville 2-0, so they are moving on. They will play Friday night against Alma Bryant at home here in Auburn, and we will have the broadcast on our sister station, 96.3 W Lee. Broadcast will start at 5 o'clock Central Time this Friday on 96.3 W Lee. You can catch all the action over there as Scott Bagwell is on the call for Auburn High Baseball versus Alma Bryant in round two of the state tournament. So we appreciate him and his time coming on to the show today. Give us a good update about what's going on in the baseball state tournament. We've got a few more minutes before we head to the 3 o'clock break. If you want to call in and get involved, I'd love to hear from you. You can call in, be a part of the show, get involved. 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502. Anything on your mind in the sports world, if you want to call in and give me your take on the NIL and the transfer portal, where do you think college athletics is heading? Do you think this is a good thing for college football? And has it gone too far to where we can't get it back? Do you think there should be restrictions on NIL? Should there be a salary cap on NIL? All of those questions that are floating around the sports world today and in the last couple of days. If you have a take on any of that, I would love to hear from you and what you have to say. 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502. We've got a couple of minutes before we head to the 3 o'clock break. And kind of just want to update you on the MLB standings, update you on the Braves and some of the other teams around Major League Baseball. It's been a minute since we've talked about it, and we are, you know, we're a few weeks into the regular season now, and so now it's time where you can kind of dive in just a little bit, still not a ton, but you can still dive into the records and the schedule and say, okay, these teams are for real, these teams are legit, versus the teams that, you know, probably are not going to be in postseason play. So again, it's still early, it's only May. We have all summer long of the baseball season, but it is May, and you can kind of look and see just where some of the teams stand as of right now, May 4th of 2022. And to update you on the Atlanta Braves, they are currently playing the wrap-up game, the fourth game against the New York Mets, who are one of the best teams in baseball right now, believe it or not. They are actually one of the best teams in baseball, and they are playing game four of a four-game series right now. The Braves are trying to even the series at two apiece, and the Braves are currently up 7-1 in the bottom of the seventh. So, you know, barring a complete meltdown, the Braves should win that game, and they would split the series with the Mets 2-2. So that would put them, they are currently 11-15. That would put them at 12-15. And they haven't played great as of late, but they seem to be turning it around maybe a little bit. And of course, Ronald Acuna Jr. is now back in the batting order. I saw he was the designated hitter this afternoon. So still trying to work him back into the rotation, work him back into the field coming off of injury. He's only been called up to the Braves for a couple of games now. Of course, he played in the minors to try to get fully healthy before coming all the way back to the professional, or to the major leagues, I guess. And so he's still trying to work through some things, get him comfortable back into the rotation. But the Braves are 11-15, about to be 12-15. Maybe they get it turned around a little bit, the defending World Series champions. They have a long season to do so, and we'd love to see them do that sooner rather than later. How about that? Hour number one officially in the books. Stay tuned. Hour number two coming up. You're listening to On the Line.
Are on the line live on ESPN 106.7 in Auburn and Fox Sports Central Alabama on 98.3 FM in Birmingham and Sylacauga, online on foxsports983.com and espnau.com. Call in at 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502.
You're on the line here on ESPN 106.7 in Fox Sports Central Alabama. Jacob Goins with you on the Wednesday edition of the show. Hour number one officially in the books. You know what that means. Hour number two officially underway here on ESPN 106.7 in Fox Sports Central Alabama on 98.3 up through Birmingham and Sylacauga. I appreciate everybody tuning in to the Wednesday edition of On the Line. If you're still here from hour number one, thank you so much. If you're just now tuning in, I appreciate you as well. I'd love to hear from you. Call in, get involved, be a part of the show, 334-321-1390, or toll free at 888-382-7502. If you want to call in, give me your opinion about anything going on in the sports world. If you have an opinion about the hot topic around college sports, college football in particular, with the NIL and the transfer portal and everything else, tampering, all of that, if you have an opinion or if you have a suggestion, maybe a way to fix it or just anything about that, if you have a comment, call in. I'd love to hear from you. 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502. If you missed any of hour number one, you can search for On the Line wherever you get your podcast. It'll be uploaded immediately following today's show. So just search On the Line wherever you get your podcast. We had Scott Bagwell, Auburn High School football and baseball play-by-play announcer. He was on at the 2:30 mark. He came on to talk about Auburn High School baseball and their run through the state tournament. They won last weekend against Prattville. They will have Alma Bryant at home this weekend. That will be Friday night at 5 o'clock over at Auburn High School. Or if you can't attend, you can listen to the broadcast on our sister station, 96.3 W. Lee, right here in the Auburn Opelika area. And that broadcast will start at 5 o'clock with Scott Bagwell on the call for Auburn High School baseball versus Alma Bryant in the second round of the state playoffs. But we had him on the show today. Fantastic conversation. Really love talking to him. He knows his stuff. If you missed that interview or any of hour number one, you can search On the Line wherever you get your podcast. Again, call in. I'd love to hear from you and hear what you have to say about anything going on in the sports world. 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502. Let's start hour number two like we always do with Making Headlines.
Making Headlines.
So Making Headlines today, Wednesday, May 4th, 2022. Happy Star Wars Day to anybody that celebrates. But the Making Headlines for today, Jordan Addison, the big subject, the big talk of college football right now, really yesterday as well. We talked about it a lot on the show yesterday. He has officially entered the transfer portal. He will be transferring from Pitt. He's one of the best wide receivers in the entire country, and he has made it known he is transferring in search of, in seek of, if you will, NIL deals. He wants that NIL money. He wants to get paid. He knows his worth, and he has set the bar high, and he wants to make that NIL money while he's in college, and there's nothing wrong with that, right? Absolutely nothing wrong with that. Do what you got to do. Do what you want to do, and that's exactly what he's doing. He is officially in the transfer portal. The two schools that have really been in the news with Jordan Addison are USC and Alabama. And, of course, USC was in the news about him because reports came up that there was something around $2 million worth of NIL stuff that USC could offer Addison if he transferred out there. None of that is official yet, but that's the number that's been thrown around with USC if they were to land Jordan Addison. And then Alabama has been talked about another school that would go after him. And just to add a little fuel to that fire and that little campfire going on over there, there was video today of Jordan Addison, the receiver, working out with Bryce Young, Alabama's star quarterback. That video surfaced today. So maybe something going on there. You never really know. You don't know until you know. But that adds a little bit of fuel to the fire, if you will. And we're going to see where he goes. We're going to see how much NIL money that he gets. Does he go to USC and get a big-time deal? Does he go to Alabama and get the same amount of money, maybe a little bit less? But you're going to a better team and a better program as of right now. So we'll see what happens with Jordan Addison. It has really been a major subject, a major talking point across all sports media outlets, sports news outlets. It's been the talk of the day so far, and for good reason, because this is a turning point in college football. It's a turning point in college athletics. It really is. When you look at what this means for college sports, it's not just Jordan Addison. He's not the one that is making the giant change and making the shift in college football. But it's players like him that are. And I'm not saying anything bad about him. I don't want it to come off that way. That's not what I'm saying. But with the new NIL and the new transfer portal rules and how everything is meshing together, this is the change that's happening in college football specifically. College basketball, you're going to see it as well. But really with college football, this is where it's going to change. And it's changing right now in front of our eyes. It is. It's happening right now. We're watching it happen with a star wide receiver at a school. He becomes a superstar, and now he says, yeah, I don't want to play here anymore. I'm going to go transfer to where I can get paid because I know my worth. I know what my name, image, and likeness is worth, and I'm going to go somewhere that can pay me the big bucks to do so. And that's exactly what he's doing. And so now you're going to see so many other players do that. And this is something I just thought of. We talked about in hour number one how coaches have that added stress and added responsibility and added work to just get players on their team. But not just that. Now there's even more work to be done to keep those players on your team. Think about that. Think about that. That was not something you really had to worry about years ago. And I understand how the benefits of the transfer portal, right? I understand it's a great system because if it's not working out between a program and player, coach and player, players and players, I completely understand, look, this isn't working for me. I need to go somewhere else. That's totally fine, right? Everybody agrees. Everybody understands. I don't know anybody that doesn't really agree with that. If you do, I'd love to hear from you and why. But that is understandable. But what we're seeing now and what we are going to continue to see is it may not even be that the player doesn't want to be at that specific school. He's going to transfer now because, well, I'm not getting paid enough. I'm not getting enough NIL money. So I'm going to go to a school where I can make that kind of money. It may not even be a better team. It may not be a step up. It may be a step backwards. It may be a step down. But they don't care. Those types of players aren't going to care. And that's fine. If that's what they want to do, then that's what they want to do. And that's totally fine. But now coaches are going to have to fight just to keep their players on their team. Yeah, we've seen it with coaching changes. That's where the benefit of the transfer portal really came in. You saw it with Auburn this past year, right? You saw that with Auburn after Gus Malzahn was fired and Brian Harsin was brought in. You saw a lot of guys transfer out that said, I don't want to be in this type of system. I don't want to be here for this type of coach. I don't want to play for him. That's totally fine. See you later. Go do what you got to do. Go find a program that benefits you. But now what we're going to see at the end of the season, in the offseason, you're going to have to see, and you will see, coaches are going to have to fight tooth and nail just to convince their own players that they've already recruited, that they've already gotten to commit, that have already played for you. You're going to have to convince them why it's beneficial for them to stay rather than go somewhere else and possibly make more money. That is what they are going to have to deal with now. It's not even going to be about the football anymore. And that's where the problem arises. And that's where it's going to get really, really ugly, really fast. Because the vision that I have for what college sports and especially college football is going to become, nobody's going to care about the football anymore. Nobody's going to care. As long as you play halfway decent, they're not going to care. Nobody's going to care. The players aren't going to care. The coaches aren't going to be able to care. The donors don't care. So then, if none of them are caring, then the quality of football is going to drop tremendously. And then the fans are going to quit caring. Because if the football is not any good, why do we want to watch it if it's not going to be any good? That's what's happening. And I think that is what is going to happen. I hope not. I want to be wrong. Believe me, I want to be wrong here, folks. I know I like to be right, but not right here. Not this time. If I'm wrong, I will jump to the moon because I think college football is going in a bad direction right now. And I just don't see how it's fair to the coaches. I really don't. I understand they make a lot of money. I get that. I 100% get that. But their job responsibilities are at least doubling with this right now. And again, I've said it before, this is why legendary coaches, old school coaches, they're leaving the game. They're leaving college athletics. They're done. They don't want to deal with it because they know how difficult it's going to be. And they've coached and recruited a certain way for so many years that they don't have the time or the effort or the patience to try to adjust. They've done what they've got to do. They've done what they wanted to do, and they're done. And I think that's why I made a prediction yesterday. I think at the end of Nick Saban's contract at Alabama, I don't think he's going to re-sign. I think he's going to call it quits. I really do. Even if he's benefiting from all of this NIL stuff, because let's just be honest, this isn't really going to affect Alabama because they're going to do what they got to do. They're going to get the players that they want to get no matter what because Nick Saban's still running that football program. Because if you go to Alabama right now, you're going to get decent NIL money. You're going to get really good as a football player, and you've got a pretty good chance to go pro. Once Nick Saban's not there, then that entire story changes, right? Same thing with Clemson. Same thing with Georgia. Same thing with Ohio State. Those schools are going to be okay. That's not who is going to get affected by all of this. It's schools like Auburn that are really going to struggle if they don't figure it out. And that's what they've got to do. So Jordan Addison in the transfer portal from Pitt, the two schools that are really in contention from what we know, USC and Alabama, which one will he choose? Why will he choose them? This is a breaking point in college football, and we'll see how it goes. My bet is he picks USC because of the money. He's going to go where the more NIL money is. That's the vibe that he has given off. That's the That's kind of the mindset we have seen from him. He may change. He may change his mind. But my bet would be he goes where the money is. And you're going to see more and more players do that exact thing. Moving on with making headlines, a little bit of NFL news for you guys here on this Wednesday edition of On the Line. The NFL announced that the Seattle Seahawks and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers will play the first ever game in Germany. They will be playing an NFL game in Germany. I believe it's its upcoming season. So the NFL is trying to expand a few of their games. They've had a game in Europe for the last couple of years. They are now trying to expand and go farther into Europe and not just, I think it was an England game maybe that they used to have, like one game a year would be played in England. And remember, it would come on at like 8 o'clock in the morning on that Sunday. You'd wake up and turn it on and be like, why is there NFL on right now? Well, they were playing overseas. They're trying to do that more and expand their audience. And they've had really good results when they do it. And why not do it? They're obviously doing it because it's going to make more money and build an audience, sell an audience, right? That's how sports work in general. And I think now the NFL realizes we can go to other countries, we can go to more countries and make more money and build more fans, which means more viewership, which means more money, which means more ticket sales and more, you know, merchandising sales and all of those things. You can sell ads more, you can sell different ads, you can sell ads for more money. All of that goes into it. So the NFL announced that the Seattle Seahawks and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers will play the first ever game in Germany coming up this season. Moving on with making headlines, the NBA playoffs last night continued on. We had more round two action from the National Basketball Association. Had two games last night, one in the East and one in the West. The Boston Celtics as the 2 seed playing the 3-seeded Milwaukee Bucks. Of course, the Bucks, they won game one in Boston on Sunday afternoon. They went up 1-0 in the series. Boston, they responded big time. They win 109-86. They even up the series at one apiece. They head to Milwaukee for game three. And this was the Boston team that I thought was going to show up. This was the Boston team I thought was going to play Milwaukee. 109-86. 86 points, guys. That's ridiculous. In the playoffs against the Milwaukee Bucks, they held this team to 86 points, did the Boston Celtics. NBA teams are averaging, in the playoffs at least, over 100 points easily. They've been scoring anywhere from 100 to like 110, 115 is really what's been the average so far from what I've seen. They held them to 86 points. And if you remember, on Sunday, it was almost a flipped script. The Bucks won 101-89 on Sunday. And then last night, Boston 109-86. So almost identical. And defense has been at an all-time high in this NBA playoffs. This is why I still chose, and I still have the Boston Celtics to win this game in six. I have Boston in six in this series because I think their defense is just too good. Their offense is good enough to do what they got to do. It's going to be the defense that carries them all the way. I think they make it to the NBA Finals, and then it may be a toss-up at that point. But you look across the board at the stats for the Bucks. Middleton is still out, by the way, Chris Middleton. So that is a big-time loss for Milwaukee. He got hurt late in the last series in round one, so he's still not playing. But you look at the Milwaukee Bucks, Giannis had 28 points, Drew Holiday had 19, Bobby Portis had 13, and then off the bench, Pat Connaughton, he had 13 as well. But then everybody else really didn't do a whole lot. 4-2, 5-2, that's just not going to get it done. And as a team, Milwaukee, as a team, let's see, they shot 46%. Boston shot 47%. Boston was hitting some threes, too, last night. 20 of 43. They hit 23-pointers. That's good for 46.5% as a team. That's really good. And Milwaukee couldn't buy a three-pointer. They went 3 of 18, good for 16%. So Boston, it was the turnover battle as well. 16 to 11, Milwaukee had 16 turnovers. Defense and three-pointers, that's how Boston won last night. They even up the series at one apiece. They head to Milwaukee for game three on Saturday. That'll be on ABC. And the other game last night, this is a fantastic series already. The three-seeded Golden State Warriors, they're up 1-0 on the two-seeded Memphis Grizzlies. Ja Morant drops a 47-piece and evens up the series at 1-1. Memphis beats Golden State 106-101. This is a fantastic series. I thought Golden State was really just going to run over them and take this series over in two games. And Ja Morant and Memphis said, uh-uh, not so fast. Ja Morant, 47 points, 15 of 31 shooting from the field, 5 of 12 from downtown, 12 of 13 from the free throw line. And, I mean, Memphis, they're a gritty team. They're not super sexy. They're not super stylish. But they've got Ja Morant, who has really established himself as one of the best players in the entire NBA, and he dropped a 47-piece last night. That's unbelievable. And look, Memphis didn't shoot the ball great. They shot 39% as a team. They did shoot better from three than Golden State. That's something you don't see a whole lot. Memphis went 14 of 45. They shot 45 three-pointers. Holy smokes. 31% for Memphis, and Golden State just 7 of 38. That's good for 18%, folks. That's not what you want to see if you're a Golden State fan. Obviously, we know from over the years, this team likes to shoot the three ball. That's what they do best. And when they only shoot 18%, they're probably not going to be very successful. But yet, it was still a five-point game. Memphis won 106-101. It was a tie ball game with 10 or 15 seconds to go. Free throws extended it a little bit. Memphis wins 106-101. That series is tied at one, going to Golden State for Game 3. That'll be on Saturday as well. That's all I've got for making headlines. If you want to call in, talk about anything I just talked about or anything else that's on your mind in the sports world, I would love to hear from you. 334-321-1390. Or toll free at 888-382-7502. Call in, get involved. I always love to hear from you, the listener, and I would love to do so today. 334-321-1390. Or toll free at 888-382-7502. Let's head to our first break of hour number two. You're listening to On the Line. Welcome back into On the Line here on ESPN 106.7 in Fox Sports Central Alabama. Jacob Goins with you on the Wednesday edition of the show. We've got about 6 more minutes before we head to the bottom of the hour break at 3:30. Don't have a second guest today, so it's just me for hour number two, but it can be you as well if you'd like to call in, get involved, be a part of the show. I would love to hear from you. 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502. Anything on your mind in the sports world? I've asked and posed a couple of questions today if you want to answer one. If you have a thought about anything we've talked about, NIL, transfer portal, tampering, NBA, Auburn baseball, anything that's on your mind, you can call in. Let's talk about it. I'd love to hear from you. 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502. I appreciate everybody tuning in to the Wednesday edition of On the Line here on ESPN 106.7 and Fox Sports Central Alabama on 98.3 up through Birmingham and Sylacauga. Here's a question that I'm posing to you, the listener. It is May 4th, 2022, and we are, what, 4 months away from college football? Is that right? Let's see. Let's look it up. What is Auburn football's game one? What's the date on that, right? I think we're like 4 months out from college football. And my question to you is, let's see if I get it pulled up. September 3rd, yeah. So you've got May, June, July, and August. You've got 4 months until college football gets here. We're all waiting on it, right? That's most of us down here. That's their favorite sport of the year. Favorite time of the year, college football. Fall rolls around. You know, you get through the hot month of September, but you still got college football. September 3rd is Auburn's first game. You're 4 months away. My question to you is, what is getting you through between now and football season? And when I ask that, what sports are getting you through the next 4 months? What are you watching right now? What are you keeping up with? obviously, right now, there's a lot going on. And in the next couple of months, it's really just baseball and golf. And so, is there something that you do? That do you get out and play some sports? Do you, you know, are you coaching sports? Are you doing something like that? What are you watching and what are you keeping up with that's getting you through the next 4 months until college football season? I'd love to hear from you. 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502. Look, for me, right now, until the middle of June, end of June, I really keep up with the NBA and the NHL playoffs. I love it so much, and it's so exciting. Both of them really are. And I love keeping up with it. I love watching it. And it's so entertaining, so much action and energy. And the broadcasters have been so good. Of course, I pay attention to that type of stuff as I am a play-by-play announcer myself, you know, trying to get better and learn from those guys. But at the same time, the action has just been fantastic. The quality of play has been really good in the NBA and in the NHL. I'm also keeping up with the MLB a little bit. Not really watching a whole lot of the games, but I do keep up with them. I check the scores every single day, check stats every single day. And, you know, keeping up with the Braves and the Red Sox. And then also golf. I try to watch some golf on the weekends. We've got a major coming up in just a couple of weeks. So there's a lot going on right now in the sports world. But in a couple of months, it's really just going to be baseball and golf. And you've got to find something to keep your sports, you know, your sports, what's the word I'm looking for? Your itch, your sports itch. You got to fulfill it somehow. And I really dive into baseball season a lot during the summer. I like to watch a lot of the games and, you know, seek out different games and different teams that I don't really get to watch a whole lot, you know, when so much is going on like right now. But right now is really just so much fun with NBA and NHL playoffs on every single night right now. That's really what's keeping me entertained. But what about you? What are you keeping up with? What are you watching sports-wise that's getting you through until college football season? I want to hear from you. 334-321-1390 or toll-free at 888-382-7502. Again, NBA and NHL, I've talked about it a lot. If you don't watch it, I highly recommend that you do. NBA playoffs have been really on like ESPN and TNT, I think. And then hockey playoffs have really been on ESPN. ESPN, obviously, they have the new NHL contract, and that's where most of the hockey playoffs have been, ESPN and ESPN2. So it's been a lot of fun. It's been fantastic. Their coverage has been really good of the NHL playoffs. I talked about this a little bit yesterday. Their broadcasters have been really good. Their reporters have been really good. Their video quality has been good. Replay, all of that has been really, really good. I've been really impressed by ESPN's hockey coverage. Obviously, they had it way back in the day, and now they've got it back. And look, you didn't really know how it was going to go, but it's been pretty impressive. So between that and the NBA and keeping up with the MLB at night, my evenings have been pretty busy, and I've been pretty happy. I've been a happy camper watching NBA on one screen and hockey on the other in playoffs where it's so intense and so exciting. This is one of my favorite times of the year. You get out of March Madness, you get out of college basketball, and then NBA and NHL playoffs kick off just like that. And it's a lot of fun. It goes all the way through June. Then you just have 2 months. You have 2 months to figure it out and survive before college football is officially here. Let's take a break. We've got 30 minutes left of the Wednesday edition of On the Line. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. Welcome back into On the Line here on ESPN 106.7 in Fox Sports Central Alabama. On 98.3 up through Birmingham and Sylacauga. Hope you're all doing well on this Wednesday afternoon. Sun is shining. It's hot, but weather is coming. It's supposed to rain here on Friday. Hopefully not, but we'll see how it goes. Graduation is this weekend over at Auburn University. So to anybody that may be listening in, congratulations on graduating from Auburn. I will be graduating in August, so I'm excited about that. So hopefully the weather holds off. They do have the commencement ceremony Friday night, and then graduation itself is Saturday morning, or really Saturday all day long. So hopefully the weather holds off for that. But hope you're all doing well on this Wednesday edition of On the Line. If you want to call in, get involved, be a part of the show. If you have something you want to talk about, I'd love to hear from you. 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502. Anything on your mind in the sports world, any question that you have for me, any topic of conversation you want to talk about, call in. I'd love to hear from you. Let's talk about it. Let's discuss it. And we'll see if we can solve the world's problems together. How about that? 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502. So we're talking about, you know, some things to get you through until college football season. Well, ESPN just updated their way too early top 25 for college basketball. Remember, we talked about that maybe last week or the week before, and Arkansas was the number one team in the way too early top 25. Do you remember that? I do. And it was a shock, a surprise, but once you start looking into that team, you think, wow, they have a lot of talent. But that was before some of their guys bolted for the NBA, which we thought they would, but they have now officially done that. So ESPN updated their way too early top 25 for men's college basketball for the upcoming 2022-2023 college basketball season. And there are some definite changes on this list, and it's now North Carolina is the top team in the way too early top 25. They were previously ranked 5. They are now number 1 because of all of the guys that decided to come back. Basically all of their guys that were on this massive national championship game team, they obviously didn't win, but they were there. And most of their guys came back, right? Most of them came back, and that makes them a legitimate contender to do it again, to try to get back and actually win it all this time. So we'll see how that goes. But North Carolina is your number one team in the way too early top 25 for college basketball on ESPN. Looking down the rest of the list, Houston is at number 2. That's where they were before. Kentucky has jumped up to 3. They were at 7. But they've jumped up to 3, of course, since Oscar Tshiebwe decided that he is coming back to play another year for the Wildcats. That makes them a big-time contender yet again. Look for them to make it out of the first round this year, or next year, I guess I should say. Look for them to do a lot better in the tournament than they did this year. But Oscar Tshiebwe coming back to that team really makes them a contender. They've moved up from 7 to 3 in the way too early top 25. Their projected starting lineup, Sevier Wheeler, who was there last year, averaged 10 points per game. Cason Wallace, the number 20 in the ESPN 100. Antonio Reeves, he was there last year. He's a transfer from Illinois State who averaged 20 points a game. So he was their projected starter next year. Chris Livingston, number 12 in the ESPN 100. And then, of course, Oscar Tshiebwe, the reigning National Player of the Year. That's a deadly lineup for this Kentucky Wildcats team. They're ranked number 3 in the way too early top 25 on ESPN for college basketball. UCLA at number 4. They are down from number 3, so not too much of a change there. Creighton has jumped up to number 5 from 9. They are number 5. And then Arkansas at number 6. Of course, like I mentioned, previously ranked number 1 in the first way too early top 25. Look, this Arkansas team, they're still really good. And they dropped down because of J.D. Notte and Tony, Audis Tony, I believe that's how you pronounce his name. They both are going to the NBA. But they're still waiting on Jalen Williams, one of their big players, to see and decide if he wants to test the waters or not. And look, Arkansas is still really good. They brought in one of the best recruiting classes in the country. They're still going to be a legitimate threat yet again And they're going to see if they can break through and try to make a Final Four. I think they've got a real chance to do so. I really do. I think so. They're a tough out in the SEC. Their projected starting lineup is Nick Smith, number 3 in the ESPN 100. Devontae Davis, he was there last year. Anthony Black, number 15 in the ESPN 100. Jordan Walsh, number 11 in the ESPN 100. And then Mikal Mitchell, who averaged 10.7 points per game at Rhode Island last year. So look at that projected starting lineup for this Arkansas team. In the ESPN 100, that's the top 100 players coming out of high school ranked by ESPN. Number 3, number 11, and number 15, all on the starting five for this Arkansas team next season. That's really, really good. That's unbelievable. That's unbelievable. And when you think about what Eric Musselman has been doing at Arkansas, they're a legitimate threat. They're the real deal now in the SEC. How long will he be at Arkansas? Who knows? I think if he has continued success, you could see a big-time program swoop in and try to steal him. I don't know who it would be, but he may not take it. He may just stay at Arkansas because he likes it. You never really know. But Arkansas, they're going to be just fine, even though they're losing a couple star players. Really, J.D. Notte is the player that they're losing that you would say was their team last year. But they're kind of doing what Auburn's doing. They're losing their guys, but they're just reloading. And Arkansas, they've got 3 guys in the top 15 coming out of high school that's going to be on their starting five. Arkansas is going to be just fine. Moving on in the top 25, the way too early top 25 from ESPN for college basketball next season. Duke at number 7, they were previously number 6. Kansas, the defending national champions, at number 8, they've dropped down from 4 to 8. Baylor at 9, they were previously 8. Villanova at 10, they were previously 13. That wraps up your top 10. And then the team you're waiting for, your Auburn Tigers, are now number 11 in the way too early top 25. They moved up from 16. They were first and previously ranked 16 in the first way too early top 25. They are now at 11, and for good reason. And you could probably say this team's going to move up even more if they pick up the commitment from you-know-who. But here's what it says under Auburn. I'll read it to you real quick. For a team that lost top 3 draft pick Jabari Smith, and this is from the ESPN article on the ESPN website. For a team that lost top 3 draft pick Jabari Smith and Defensive Player of the Year Walker Kessler, Auburn has had a great start to the spring. The Tigers landed Morehead State's Jani Broom and one of the best players in the portal. The top 30 prospect, Johan Traore, who was committed to LSU. Those two will form the core of a revamped front court, and Bruce Pearl is still in pursuit of 5-star forward recruit Julian Phillips. Everything that they said is true. Auburn lost Jabari Smith and Walker Kessler, and you thought, man, that's going to be really tough to have to replace those guys. They were really, really good for this team. Well, Bruce Pearl said, not to worry, folks. We're just going to replace them with possibly better players. Think about that. Think about that. He got players that are just as good, but possibly could be better. Think about that for a second. It's crazy. You've got Jani Broom, Johan Traore, and now Auburn is still in the running for Julian Phillips. If they get all 3 of those, watch out. This team is going to be extremely dangerous. Plus the guards that are still on this team, plus the bench that's still on this team, Auburn will be in a fantastic spot. They're going to be in a great spot. And Auburn is the favorite to land Julian Phillips right now. And look, it's talking about the rest of that little paragraph talks about if they don't get Phillips, they're going to have to hope Alan Flanagan comes back and returns to the form that he was 2 years ago. Look, I think it's time to quit banking on that. I think it's time to quit waiting on that train to come into the station. I mean, let's just be honest. I like Alan Flanagan. He's done a lot for this program. He's a great kid, it seems like. Great guy, it seems like. But I think it's time for us to cut that one loose and quit waiting on him to get back to that form. Because with the injury, I just don't know if he can. I don't know if he can get back to what he used to be. He used to be pretty good. He did. He used to be pretty good. I never fully bought into the hype and in the aspect that he was just an unbelievable superstar. But He was pretty good. And when he was the only one on this team that was scoring, remember that a couple of years ago? Yeah, he was good then. But then the injury happened, and he just hasn't been the same since. And also, he doesn't really fit this system anymore because he's not the go-to guy. He's not. He's not the go-to guy anymore. And I just don't know what his role is on this team anymore. He is testing out the NBA waters, by the way. He is testing the waters and doesn't have to sign with an agent and all that mess. You know how that goes. So he can test the waters and still come back. I would assume he'd come back for another year. He needs it. He definitely needs another year. But I think it's time for Auburn basketball and for Auburn fans to quit waiting on Alan Flanagan to get back to that what he used to be, because I don't know if it's going to happen. And Auburn doesn't need that anymore. I don't want to say they don't need him, but look at who they're bringing in. They don't have to wait on Alan Flanagan anymore. A couple of years ago, yeah, Auburn needed Alan Flanagan, and he did what he had to do to keep this program afloat. But at this point, Auburn doesn't need Alan Flanagan anymore. They don't need to be waiting on him to get good so then they can get good. They don't need that anymore. They've got the dudes to make it happen. Yoan Traore, Jani Broome. I predict they're going to get Julian Phillips. Plus the guards on this team, who I think are going to get better. This team is going to be just fine. They're going to be just fine. They don't need Alan Flanagan to be a superstar anymore. If he's there, use him the best way that you can. If he goes, congratulations, and we appreciate what he's done at Auburn. But, again, waiting on Alan Flanagan to get good, it's just not... Auburn doesn't need that anymore. They have the guys to do it. Auburn is so far ahead in recruiting now, and so far, you know, I guess the way to put it is, they're so much farther than what they used to be, and they're up with the big dogs now, that they don't have to worry about that stuff anymore. They bring in the best of the best, and they worry about those players. That's where Auburn is as a basketball program now. And when you look at the projected starting lineup, as of right now, ESPN has it as Wendell Green Jr., KD Johnson, Alan Flanagan, Yoan Traore, number 27 in the ESPN 100, and Jani Broome, of course, the Morehead State transfer. So right now, they've got Alan Flanagan as a starter. And this is just their projections. You don't actually know. But that is what their projected starters would be. Wendell Green, and over Zepp, by the way, because remember, Zepp started last year, and Wendell Green came in off the bench as a sixth man. They've got Wendell Green, KD Johnson as your guards, and then Alan Flanagan, Yoan Traore, and Jani Broome. It's interesting. It really is. We've got a phone call. Let's head to the phone lines, 334-321-1390. I'll answer the phone. I'll get them on the air. Stay tuned.
Thanks for listening to On the Line. Please stay tuned as we take this phone call. You may get involved as well. Call 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502.
Welcome back. Just answer the phones, and we're going to get them on the air. Ed is on line one. Ed, welcome in.
Hey, guys. I wanted to just say War Eagle real quick. I've been real busy today, listen a little bit, but Alan Flanagan, it's been a really hard kind of thing to watch and everything, but you know, as far as needing somebody, you know, I don't think Auburn's going to depend on Stretch next year to make a lot of points, but he's a part of that team. He's kind of a big part of the team. You know what I mean? And maybe, mm-hmm. yeah, and maybe Alan and some other guys, you know, that are on there. I hate that it hadn't come back with him, but I think Auburn's going to do, I think they're going to be just fine, you know. And Alan, I haven't been listening here. Is he talking about leaving or something? Or?
No. I'm reading through an ESPN article. They updated their way too early top 25, and it was talking about if Auburn doesn't get Julian Phillips, then they would have to hope that Alan Flanagan can try to get back to what he used to be. And I was talking about how Auburn they're getting good enough recruits now to where they don't really have to worry about that anymore.
And I agree with you 100%. And, you know, if we get Julian Phillips up, if we get him, wrong name, if we get him, that'll just be a very, very, you know, blunt, something, the cherry on the top.
Yep.
We've got plenty of other good players on that this team that can take up the slack. You know, I think we've got a very solid team coming back.
I agree.
All right, War Eagle, guys.
Yeah, War Eagle. That was Ed here on the Wednesday edition of On the Line. Auburn's got a fantastic team. And what I was talking about was the ESPN article was saying that if Auburn doesn't get Julian Phillips, then they're going to hope that Alan Flanagan can get back to what he used to be, because as of right now, they've got him as a starter, Alan Flanagan. But as I was talking about, Auburn has enough talent, and they're bringing in enough talent. They don't have to worry about Flanagan anymore. If he gets better, fantastic, use him to your advantage. But if he is just kind of stuck where he is, then that it is what it is. You're going to be just fine. And there's some guys on this team that Auburn has to use as well. And they will use Jalen Williams, stretch, like Ed was talking about, and, you know, some of the bench players as well. But I think Auburn, again, they've got a great team. They're going to be just fine, whether Alan Flanagan is good or not, whether they get Julian Phillips or not. Auburn's already good as it is. Look who's on the roster. I think Auburn gets Julian Phillips. It is the cherry on top, and I think that puts this team to the next level. It could really, really be a national championship contender, more so than this past year's team, if you can believe it. I think so. And it's going to take some time for this team to blend together and to mesh together, but once they get to that point, once SEC play hits, I think this upcoming Auburn team could be one of the best, if not the best, in the entire country. Let's take our final break of the Wednesday edition of On the Line. Stay tuned. We'll be back in just a moment. Welcome back into On the Line here on ESPN 106.7 in Fox Sports Central Alabama on 98.3 up through Birmingham and Sylacauga. Hope you're all doing well on this Wednesday, May 4th. Wherever you're listening, Auburn, Opelika, Sylacauga, Birmingham, across the state of Alabama and across the country, hope you're all doing well on this Wednesday afternoon. It's been a great show today. Hopefully you've been here and caught a piece of it, but if you missed any of today's show, you can find the podcast. Just search On the Line wherever you get your podcast. You can catch up on everything we talked about today. We had Scott Bagwell of Auburn High School football and baseball play-by-play announcer. We had him on back in hour number one to talk about Auburn High School baseball and their run through the state tournament, and as they will be playing Alma Bryant on Friday evening over at Auburn High School, 5 o'clock on our sister station, 96.3 W Lee. That's at 5 o'clock. You can catch Scott Bagwell on the call for Auburn High Baseball versus Alma Bryant, but had him on in the first hour, rather. So you can catch that interview as well. It was a fantastic phone call. Always enjoy talking to Mr. Scott Bagwell. And again, if you missed any of today's show, just search On the Line wherever you get your podcast. We've talked about Jordan Addison officially in the transfer portal from Pitt. USC and Bama seem to be the leaders for him right now. We talked about Arkansas baseball, how they lost their midweek game to Missouri State last night, and as they get ready to come to Auburn this weekend to take on the Tigers, a big-time FCC West showdown. We talked about that a little bit as well. And then, like I said, we had Scott Bagwell. We talked a little bit after that about the NBA playoffs and what's been going on there. And then also, we just talked about ESPN updating their way too early top 25 for college basketball. So make sure you go back and listen to anything that you missed. It was a great show. And you can search On the Line wherever you get your podcast. Make sure you stay tuned. As soon as I get off the air, it'll be The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck from 4 to 6 right here on ESPN 106.7 and Fox Sports Central Alabama on 98.3 up through Birmingham and Sylacauga. At 5:30, make sure you tune in for that. They'll have Sonny DeShera of Auburn Baseball on Tiger Takes, so he will be on the phone at 5:30. So make sure you tune in for that. He'll talk about the series at Tennessee last weekend. He'll also preview the series coming up against Arkansas this weekend at home. So that's at 5:30 on The Drive for Tiger Takes. So make sure you stay tuned and tune in for that as well. I appreciate you all tuning in here on the Wednesday edition of On the Line. We'll be back tomorrow. Same time, same place. And we'll get into it like we always do. You can always call in. Be a part of the show anytime. I love hearing from you. We'll be back tomorrow. Same time, same place. Stay safe. I'll talk to you later.